feds going after pomegranate juice.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Trade Commission's filed a complaint against the owners of Palm Wonderful Pomegranate Juice, the FTC saying Palm's marketers are making false claims of health benefits. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, John.
Hello, Steve.
What are some of the health claims that Palm makes?
Well, they say that this pricey fruit juice reduces the risk of heart disease and prostate cancer. They cite clinical trials and peer-reviewed testing to back up claims that drinking pomegranate juice reduces plaque in arteries, improves blood flow, and even lowers blood pressure.
And I take it, John, regulators at the FTC don't agree with that.
They do. They say Palm's medical claims are unsubstantiated. They say the company is ignoring evidence that Palm is no better than a placebo when it comes to any of these health benefits. The FTC has filed a false claims order that would force the company to stop touting the health improvements. And the commission wants the Food and Drug Administration to review any future claims that Palm juice can prevent or treat diseases.
And what is Palm? What's been their response, John?
Well, they're challenging the FTC's complaint, citing their scientific evidence of the health benefits. They say the commission is violating the company's First Amendment rights and overreaching its regulatory authority in asking for FDA review of Palm juice, as if it were a pharmaceutical drug. An administrative law judge will take up this case next May.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
The latest Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index nudged up more than 0.5% between June and July, and more than 3% year over year. Some analysts, though, think the data is misleading.
Well, summer's always a good time. School year's over, people are moving, and you still had a little bit of the tag end of that first-time homeowner buyer credit that helped to boost both demand and prices. But when you adjust the figures for all that and the credit is gone, prices were basically flat for year over year.
Julie Neiman is with Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Let's do the numbers. The markets are higher. The Dow up now about 29 points at 10,841. European shares and Asian shares, too, mostly lower. Worries over banks in Europe, the culprit after Moody's cut its rating for Anglo-Irish Bank. The Senate Commerce Committee looks at the nation's pipeline infrastructure. That's after that deadly natural gas explosion that destroyed a neighborhood in San Bruno, California. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
The Obama administration is proposing more inspectors for natural gas pipelines and stiffer fines for safety violations. But critics say old pipeline equipment needs replacing as well. In San Bruno, it took Pacific Gas and Electric nearly 2 hours to shut off the gas line, partly because the utility was still using a manual shutoff valve.
It's a big valve that someone actually has to drive through traffic to get to and turn by hand.
Rick Kessler is with the watchdog group Pipeline Safety Trust.
A remote valve would allow you to press a button from a control room and shut down the flow of gas almost immediately.
California Senator Barbara Boxer is pushing a bill to require remote shutoff valves on the nation's natural gas pipelines. Kessler says right now 7% of those pipelines run under high-risk areas like cities and suburbs. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by PBS, presenting baseball, the 10th inning from Ken Burns, tonight at 8, 7 Central on most PBS stations.
Brace yourself. This week is Cheese Week in the United Kingdom. The British cheese industry has experienced a bit of a boom in recent years, and artisans from all over the country are calling for more famous European varieties. Christopher Worth explains.
If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit movies, you know the British have a reputation for eating cheese.
I'll never sleep after all that cheese.
While the French and Italians have a reputation for making it. But Juliet Harbit says Britain once had a cheese-making tradition that was just as vibrant as the rest of Europe.
And they went from something like 2,500, 3,000 cheesemakers at the beginning of the First World War to after the Second World War, we were down to about 300 or 400.
Harbit founded the British Cheese Awards 15 years ago. She's seen a big improvement in the industry since then. Today, there are over 700 different British cheeses, putting the UK ahead of France in the number of varieties per capita. Yes, someone actually measures that sort of thing. And the market for artisanal British cheeses hit $300 million last year. Harbit says the revival is due mostly to rock-bottom milk prices that have dairy farmers looking for new ways to make a profit.
What we need to do now is to put the curd into the molds.
At her small creamery in a village about an hour outside London, Anne Wigmore stirs a vat of cheese curds the size of a bathtub. She brings in around $180,000 a year for the various cow and sheep's milk varieties she began developing nearly 25 years ago.
It was called then a sort of new wave of cheesemakers coming through, actually producing a completely different cheese.
Instead of sticking with old traditional British cheeses, like standard cheddar, Wigmore says the new generation of British cheesemakers are incorporating different European styles to create innovative products, many with equally innovative names. Jason Hines is with Neal's Yard Dairy, a specialty cheese shop in London.
A lot of the cheeses are actually taking the names of the location of the place that they're made. Ticklemore is one, because the cheesemaker had a shop, and it was at 1 Ticklemore Street.
Other names are even more imaginative. How about Wobbly Bottom, Cornish Yarg, and Stinking Bishop? Stinking Bishop may not sound like the most appetizing cheese, but the artisan who makes it reported demand jumped 500% after Wallace and Gromit sampled it in one of their movies. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, lawmakers in California can't seem to pass a budget, now nearly 3 months after the fiscal year began. The State House has fought with Governor Schwarzenegger over how to close a near $20 billion hole. But the Wall Street Journal says there are some bills that are getting through in Sacramento, including a Motorcycle Awareness Month bill, a state-sponsored cuss-free week. We have to remember that one. And a bill that forces the California dairy industry to only use cows from California to promote its products. Maybe the cows can produce a budget. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts and grab the podcast while you're at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.